Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. It's me, Aisling, and it's
me, Andrea.
We are on Zoom because we live how far away from each other? 40 minutes drive.
40 minutes. 40 minutes drive.
Who has the time?
Well, A, who has the time? B, I have a sinus infection, so I don't want to share that.
Mm-hmm. You've been struck down in the prime of Lyme.
I'm a Lyme. So I just thought it for infection control purposes, Zoom is safer.
It's the only way. And can we just at the top, I want to give a shout out to our friend Rob,
who absolutely lost the prime of Lyme reference that we had.
Didn't get the prime of Lyme reference because he's obviously not a friend, Stan, which means he's unwelcome on this podcast.
Whoa. as a weekly listener, that's going to go down like a ton of lead.
Harsh but fair, I say.
Okay.
No, it's not. It is not a prerequisite for listening to this podcast that you are a friend's Stan. That's a very age specific thing, and I feel.
But
like
also, it's not as if he wasn't positive about it because he was like, "This is my new favorite thing." So it's just like, okay, put it this way.
Yeah,
he's discovering friends for the first time potentially. So let's welcome him. As opposed to...
Okay, fine. I love how you're like, don't cancel Rob out of our lives. He deserves it.
Please.
Okay, listen. Here we are. Mm-hmm. And we're here. Just... And we are going to talk about... So I got an interesting email recently, as many of our episodes start. And it was about cushioning. Now, you think of cushions and you think of sex and you think, oh, maybe this is an interesting new way to... elevate your pelvis for fantastic depth. But no.
Oh.
Andrea was like, hopefully,
John. Tell me more.
No, you're going to have to deal with your depth problems alone.
Oh my goodness.
Your poor boyfriend. Is he listening to the podcast?
No, my poor sinuses. That's what I'm thinking about. Continue anyway.
All right. So, we're going to talk about cushioning briefly, and then based on cushioning and based on what kind of, we'll explain what it means. Don't worry, we'll get there. But based on that, we're going to go into bad breakups and how to do a good breakup. And Andrea has some stories.
As per usual.
Like I have some breakup stories too, but like, I just have to drag them out of the depths of my repressed memories because Lord knows I try and forget them.
Yeah. Oh, like I don't want to remember them, but I don't really have a choice.
Everything is content. Everything is content. So cushioning, right. Let's talk about it. What is cushioning? So essentially, and I said to Andrea off record that I've been talking about cushioning for years, but I've never put a name on it. I used to call it overlapping.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but cushioning is actually a better term. So basically, what it says is at the like when you are, I guess. Okay, I'll read what it says on the internet because they define it much better than me. Cushioning is when someone is entertaining other potential romantic options while they're in a committed relationship. So essentially what they're doing is they know that the relationship they're in isn't right for whatever reason, whatever reason they might want to get out of it or break up or whatever. Instead of being like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing and the mature thing and break up with this person. And then have a fresh start and date and do whatever. What they do is they go, okay, I can't break up with this person. I am scared of that. Or I am scared of being alone. Or I'm scared of actually having an adult conversation or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide that instead of facing the breakup and facing time alone and facing the hurt and the, you know, whatever that can come mm-hmm. with breakups, they decide to set up a new relationship while still in their current relationship as a cushion.
You see, a lot of these dating terms usually refer to the, like, you know, offendee, victim, sorry, but in this, offendee, sorry, offender, offendee.
offendee.
All right, I'm sick.
That's no excuse.
I am using it. It's my excuse for today.
How long have we been friends and you're throwing things like offendee at me? What the fuck?
Sorry. Okay, so it's usually, I just find this interesting because it's usually the victim that, you know, like, it is the term, but in this you're cushioning your own blow. You're the cushioner.
Yes, you're the cushioner and they're the cushionee.
You find a cushion.
Yeah. You know, that's it. Like, so basically it, and I mean, I know of people, I know so many people, in fact, who have done this, who have been in a relationship, like friends of mine, maybe not close friends, but friends over the years, especially when I was in my like earlier 20s, and they would be, you know, moderately happy with someone, but not in it for the long haul and, mm-hmm. you know, plodding along, and they might have problems and they might like want to break up, but they're just kind of like, no, they like their little, you know, they consider themselves serial monogamists, but what they actually are is like serial feeling avoiders. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they just don't want
confrontation.
They don't want confrontation. They don't want, and I think as well, there's an element of like, if you get with someone new while you're still in your relationship, A, your ego doesn't suffer, you know, because you've got one person falling all over you, and then you've got a, like, you're straight in to a new person falling all over you.
Yeah.
And if you're doing the breaking up, that would indicate that the person that you're currently with might still be really into you and might still want that to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, like having two people loving you at once is actually pretty nice. And that might feel good. And, you know,
yeah.
You don't have to worry about someone not being mad about you for a while, which I think is a motivational factor for some people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, though, would that not be very stressful?
Well, having two people mad about you at the same time.
Yeah. And trying to maintain that, like, because obviously there's going to be a period, as you said, like overlapping. There's going to be a period of like when you're leading somebody on, so to speak, because you're not single and you're phasing somebody out because mm-hmm. you are in a relationship. You're not kind of like, that's an uncomfortable section to be in.
I don't have the energy for that sort of shit, but like I'm 34 and I have a toddler. Yeah, you know what I mean?
This is younger days.
I mean, I feel like people in their 20s might be well up for this sort of shit.
Yeah. And I think like it's kind of like, it's similar to how people approach online dating, you know, to dating apps, because I know when I was using them, you'd never just start to strike up one conversation. Now, and it's not the same thing, but you'd never just strike up one conversation, because what if that doesn't go anywhere? So you kind of keep a few pots on the boil, so to speak. And then once one starts, you know, whistling,
mm-hmm.
you can be like, all right, stop it. Stop it with my metaphors.
Sorry. I can't help it.
I know, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. You can piece out of most of them and then focus on that one. Yeah. So I think, although you're not in a relationship when you're dating, I can kind of understand the motivation for it, because you don't want to be left with no options. Mm. However, when you're in a committed relationship, that is the option.
Yeah.
You know, that is your option.
Like, there's probably people listening being like, that's just called cheating. And I see what you're saying, but it might not cross the cheating boundary. It might just be knowledge of a very interested party. So someone I know in the past, it was in a committed relationship for like 10 years, but it was going fairly bad. Like, you know, they weren't getting on. They were living together but kind of hating their lives. It just was going
flopping out.
Yeah, like it wasn't going great, and they were having all sorts of problems, and it was coming up again and again and again, the same sort of shit. And this girl was like, okay, I really fancy this guy from work. And what she essentially did was inquired about his interest level, which, I mean, is not cheating. Obviously, her partner would not have been happy about that. But in terms of like a physical, anything physical, no. Even emotional cheating, I don't think so. I mean, I think the most it could be called was excessive flirting. And I mean, I've done that. Not recently, but I've excessively flirted with someone when in a relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think what she did was she let on that there may be a time in the near future when she might be single. And the person at work was like, well, on for this or whatever. I don't know the details. But essentially she secured the bag before she moved on to, before she moved on and became single. And she literally was single for 15 minutes and then was immediately with this new person.
And I think, do you know what I think is the 15 minutes thing I think is important? I think that is also important for the person, your cushion, because you know the way when people are like, if they cheated with you, they'll cheat on you, you know, that kind of way. And they say that, whereas if nothing actually happened and if it's just like, you know, a handover period, so to speak, like, you know, a cooling off period, if it were, that you kind of avoid the nitty gritty details of, well, when did this start and who asked who and all that kind of stuff. It was like, no, there was no overlap, but there is an overlap. And I think, on a
technicality, like genuinely, I think there was like a day where this person was like not sleeping with one or the other. Do you know what I mean? Like it was
a technicality. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I completely.
That's a technicality. Like, I mean, I would probably still consider that cheating.
I was just about to say I do, because one of my relationships ended in a way that is not too dissimilar to this.
Tell me more.
So
here I go again, mining your life for content.
Here we are. Get your pick. But yeah, so I was seeing someone and fairly seriously, and then you know who this is, and then I started, see, you and I both have a very high level of awareness and intuition. Now sometimes
I know you do, but
you know when stuff isn't right. You smell a rat. I think synesthesia, but you smell a rat. You smell a rat off. But anyway, so do I. I have a heightened sense. I don't have synesthesia, but I do have a heightened sense of, I have a good bullshit detector. And I had a feeling something was going on. And at the time, I remember saying the phrase.
Hang on 1 second. Can you just tell me who this is and then I'll bleep it out after, because I'm actually struggling. Who is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go on.
You better bleep that out because otherwise we'd be sued. That'd be awful. And I remember distinctly saying the phrase, are you seeing Jenny in the gym? Just as a throwaway phrase, there was no Jenny in the gym, but I had a feeling that something was brewing. No, not at all. You're absolutely mad. Just love going to the gym, blah, blah, blah. And then lo and behold, moments after we broke up, bang, new relationship started at work. And said person was in like all of the work WhatsApps, all the nights out, all that stuff. So they were very aware of each other. And I think possibly what you've just described of, if I was single, I would. And do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened I know that is what happened. But yeah, so I kind of do feel on the person that's on the receiving end of that, it's not nice. Because you can say nothing happened and we weren't texting, and but you had an intention. Your intent, you knew what you were doing when you were doing it. And I think that's what's unsavory about it from my point of view.
And I mean, him being like, if I was single, like this is what we'd be doing. And if I was single, you know, I'd be blah. Like that's horrific. And I would murder my partner if I thought that they were doing that. I had a similar-ish situation with an ex in that during our relationship I had a real strong suspicion about this particular girl from work. Now, at the time, he had to travel to this girl. So the company was across continents and he had to travel every so often. Mm-hmm. And one time, or a couple of times, actually, he traveled to this particular place and there was a girl that he was close to in work and was on his team or whatever. Mm. And I remember distinctly texting him and being like, hey, what did you do today? And he was like, oh, me and, I'm going to give her a fake name, Joanna. Me and Joanna went down to the pier and we went for sushi and then we went for a walk. And I was like, okay, so you kind of went on a date with Joanna.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, don't be ridiculous. Like, she's my colleague. We just did, you know, and I'm in a foreign country. So she just was showing me the sights of the city. And I was like,
yeah. I'm sure she was.
Yeah. And I was like, well, she's showing you her vagina. Because that's what it kind of comes across as. Now, I didn't say that because I was trying to pretend I wasn't unhinged.
Be super breezy cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, trying to pretend. Just, you know, I'm breezy.
It's fine.
This is fine. So I texted him and I said, like, kind of sounds like you went on a date with her. And he was like, no, don't be ridiculous. Mm. Absolutely no way. Like, there's nothing happening. And I was like, okay, Grant. And of course, I trusted him because I'm a very trusting person. And then down the road a few months.
Yeah.
And we broke up mutually. Like, we both were like, this isn't really jiving at the minute. Mm-hmm. Let's break up. Mm-hmm. So we broke up and he went on another trip to the same city, to Joanna. And what did he do? Yes.
He did.
He boned her. So, and then it was all legitimate. So it was fine. And I knew about it. And I, you know, whatever.
Well, you can't say it then.
I can't say it then. I can't be like, we were broken up, so I couldn't be like, you bastard. Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to, you know, stick it in her. But he did. And it didn't go anywhere. It's not like they got into a relationship. It wasn't like that. But I was very suspicious that he was boning. And I think they did. Like, we had both kind of checked out that relationship at that stage. So I feel like maybe he did sleep here. And then said no, and then we broke up, and then he just went and accepted her. And, you know, it's hard to know. Anyway,
we're never going to know, but what we do know is it was too close to home while you were still in a relationship. The same with me, it was too close to home. And if you, listener, are cushioning at the moment, maybe just think about it. Take a moment and think about it, and think about, is this a good idea? Is this really what I want?
Yeah.
Should I maybe be seeing what's going on in my relationship? You know what I mean? Just take a second and proceed with caution.
Or take a second, and if your relationship has gone to shit, break up with the person.
That's what I mean.
Do the kind thing.
Be the kind person. Let's think about the right way to do this. What is the right way? Shall we? I think, you know what might be a good idea? To list the wrong ways. And then whatever's left is the only way to do it.
Do you know what, Andrea? I'm picking up what you're putting down. And I know you've been through a lot of the wrong ways. Mm. But on this podcast, I like to lead with the positive.
And you lead them. Yeah. I wouldn't know. So you may lead.
No, I know what you're saying. But I'm going to go in with the, here's what to do instead of here's what not to do. And the not to do is implied, I would imagine.
Okay.
So I think the first thing that you should do is that, Andrea and I have had many discussions about, not in the context of breakups, but in the context of just people in general. You cannot control someone else's reaction. You can only control your own. Mm-hmm. So bear that in mind. You're not going to be able to control. You might want to have a good breakup. You might go in here with the maturity and the thoughtfulness and the empathy and the, you know, all those good things happening in your head. You cannot control how the person you're breaking up with is going to react to you pulling the plug on them. So, and even if you think, oh, they probably know this is coming, or even if you think, oh, they wanted to, or whatever, you do not know how this is going to go from their perspective, and you can't control that. So even if you've thought ahead and thought about what you're going to say, whatever, you kind of have to be open-minded. You kind of have to just let, you know, let what will be, be.
Yes.
Hey, yeah. Sarah, Sarah, or something, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Something. 100%. Is that in Latin or what?
That might be Italian, but all right.
Anyway, another thing I would say is, like, always know that breaking up with someone is allowed. You're allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
You know,
you're under no obligation to stay in a relationship that's not working.
No.
And even if the other person feels like it is working, it's not working if it's not working for you, because you're half the relationship. So don't be afraid.
Yeah. And you know, even if the person comes back and is like, I'll change, I'll, you know, oh, you can't do this to me, my heart is broken, or or they use kind of manipulation techniques to get you to stick around, which, look, happens to so many people.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but like, so many people use their mental health as a guilt trip for someone to stick around. That is not fair. You know, like, you're responsible. What?
When you say their mental health, as in, do they say, I don't know what I'm going to do without you, implying?
Yeah. Implying that out. They're, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I understand what you mean now. Yeah.
And I mean, look, that might be the case, but
that's still not your responsibility.
It's still not your responsibility. And if you want to break up with someone, once you do it with kindness and empathy and in a mature adult face-to-face way,
yep,
their mental well-being can't be your responsibility. And in fact, if someone is manipulating it in that way,
mm-hmm.
that's not fair on you either. You know what I mean?
Nope.
That's not to say, you know, don't care about someone. Obviously, you're going to care about them. You've been in a relationship with them.
Yeah.
That's not to say that you're not going to say, okay, I'll get on to your friend and ask them to pop around and see it. Or, you know, exactly. You're not going to just peace out and shut the door in their face.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't, if you want to break up with someone and they're giving you that, you know, manipulation or that, those excuses or those, you know, statements about their, you know, well, mm-hmm. I don't know what I'll do without you, or I'm going to have a panic attack if you leave me, or I'm going to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be your responsibility.
No.
So bear that in mind. Would you say face-to-face breakups only?
Listen, where possible.
Face-to-face
breakups. Mm-hmm. But can I add a little caveat there?
What?
Don't do it in a very crowded place. Don't
do it. Oh, Jesus, no. No, no.
And I know we're not meant to be leading with the negative, but do not bring them to a restaurant.
No.
And break up between the starter and the main course. Don't do that.
And Andrea, can I just ask, when you say don't break up with her between the starter and the main course, do you have lived experience of this?
100%. Absolutely. And me tell you, there's nothing that'll put you off a crispy duck quicker than being told this isn't going to work out. See you later.
And you know what, right? It's great that we're able to laugh about this now, a solid decade on.
Oh.
But Jesus Christ, this would not have been a funny, funny, happy, happy time a few years ago.
Dark, dark, grim, grim.
Dark, dark, grim, grim. Dark, dark, grim, grim, crispy duck.
No, but really, I understand, part of me understands not wanting to do it, not wanting to do it in a situation, maybe being one-on-one in one specific place, whatever that specific place is, won't work for you. So if it's in one or the other's house or something like that, but really think about who else is going to be there. And as the first point is, you don't know how the other person is going to react. So kind of have that in mind if you're about to break up with somebody, where you're going to do it. That should be a factor.
I still can't believe that he broke up with you in the middle of a busy restaurant, in the middle of your dinner.
Mm.
Didn't even wait till the end so you could just leg it, mid courses.
No. Mm.
That's insane. That's so bizarre.
Yeah, it was. It was quite the time.
I would say, right, okay, so you're saying, not to do it in public. Absolutely don't do it in public.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, or if you're going to do it in public, make sure it's not in somewhere where there's lots of people around. Like if you want to go to a quiet corner of, you know, St. Anne's Park, that's kind of
exactly
a little bit sexual assaulty, but you know what I mean? Like if you want to, if you want to just find a quiet area, maybe fine. But I think if you are the one who's doing the breaking up, something that might be considerate of the other person's feelings, reaction, mental state, whatever, is to do it in a place that they are comfortable. Whether that is their own home, or whether it's their dorm, or whether it's their apartment, or whether it's their best friend's place that they're minding for the weekend, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. If you're breaking up with someone, think about their aftermath, as opposed to yours, because what that will allow then is you break up with them and you're having the discussion or whatever way it's going. It could, you know, obviously it could go really well and you could be having the chats about it, or it could completely, you know, be ignited and go crazy. But in that instance, they can ask you to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so their reaction, like if it's in your house and you're doing the breaking up, obviously they can leave, but like they're leaving and going out into the world freshly broken up with, you know, to like cry on the bus or whatever, or drive when they're really upset, which is, you know, danger. We don't want that.
Too bad.
So if you're going to do a break, if you're breaking up with someone, maybe consider doing it in their environment, so that when they are heartbroken or annoyed or upset or whatever, they are in a place that they feel comfortable.
100%. That is ideal.
I think that, like, and again, public places, I just don't think.
No, not when there's people around. Don't do it.
No. But having said that, can we just add in a little addendum here? Everyone has to feel safe in this situation. So if you are breaking up with someone who you think might be volatile, or if you think your safety might be compromised in their environment, maybe do consider somewhere more public, or consider, I don't know, maybe like, what would I do if I'm trying to think, if I was breaking up with someone who was liable to maybe be aggressive or violent,
well,
what would I want to do there?
Well, that's why we say breaking up in person is the best way. But if you don't think you can have a safe breakup in person for whatever reason, it could be you, it could be them, whatever, then doing it either over the phone or doing it in another way might be a better idea. Because you're completely right. Personal safety is paramount every time. So yeah, not getting yourself in a position where you're feeling threatened or you're feeling like your safety is compromised is also important.
If I was doing that and I feared maybe not violence or, you know, aggression, but if I feared that things might not go well, I might have a friend on standby, you know, who was either outside in a car or in a nearby house or whatever, just to have someone to call,
text,
you know what I mean, and help kind of get you out of a situation if you got if one arose.
That's a really good idea.
I think, like, I mean, my therapist always says this to me, but like, I think pretty much every therapist out there would say this, but like, when you're explaining the reasons for your breaking up, it should all come from like an I perspective, like I feel like blah, as opposed to putting blame on.
Like, you make me feel like blah is not the right way.
No.
This is how I feel in the relationship. Exactly. This is what I need from the relationship, and I'm not getting it here, as opposed to you make me feel like this. And you don't give me this. Exactly. So I'm out. Yeah, that's not good.
What examples of that? I'm trying to think of an example. Like, you know, I feel very affected by your drinking, or mm-hmm. I feel like your long working hours are, yeah. Well, do you know what I mean? Whatever the thing might be.
I feel like we don't get to spend enough time together. I feel like we don't share the same outlook. I feel like we're not going on the same path. I feel like,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. a statement that's a fact. Putting in a statement that's a fact, as opposed to putting in an emotional attack, is a good way of staying on a very calm level situation, because yeah. bearing in mind the other person is probably going to not be expecting this, or mm. at the very least be upset that it's happening.
Mm.
It's easier.
No one wants to be broken up with. Even if you know you're in hell in your relationship, you still don't want, you know, someone coming to you and being like, here's everything that's wrong with you, and this is why I'm leaving. Like, that's no crack.
Mm-hmm.
However, don't
lie.
No lies. No, I don't want no lies. I don't know why I went into singing there. I don't know why TLC came through my veins into the podcast. I think as well, don't lie, and also be very, I was going to say be very honest, which is exactly what it means not to tell lies. But I don't mean that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. What do we have for her, Johnny? No, I just mean, like, yes, don't tell lies, and don't be like, well, I am moving to Aruba. I obviously don't tell lies.
Mm.
What I mean is, like, don't be ambiguous. Like, as in, don't say, oh, you know, it's just not working out.
Mm.
But, yeah, okay, well, what isn't working out? Because what you're going to do there is you're going to leave someone in the pitch dark. And that's not fair either. That's not a good thing to do at a breakup.
No.
It's not good to be like, I'm just not feeling it. I was kind of semi-broken up with before in a very vague way. And I was kind of seeing someone, and it came to a point, and he was like, yeah, no, we're not going to talk now.
Jesus.
From now on. And I was like, why? And they were like, no, it's just not going to happen. And I can't. And I was like, okay, yeah, why? And for freaking years, I chased the why.
Yeah.
You know, and it lived with me. And I, even in other relationships, I was still like, I wonder why, you know.
I wonder what the motivation was there. Yeah, exactly.
Don't leave someone high and dry with no reason behind a breakup.
No, because no matter how much self-compassion and self-awareness and confidence and self-love you have, if somebody leaves you with the gray area, your inkling is to fill in the gap yourself and be like, well, what did I do and what won't I do next? Do you know that kind of way? So how could I stop that from happening?
Yeah.
And it's probably not a you problem. It's you personally, it's probably a you and the other person problem. As opposed to, you know, a singular problem that's just at your feet or at their feet. So
and it definitely was. I mean, look, there was layers to it, as there is.
Yeah.
With many things. But like, you're totally right. I did fit in those gaps.
Mm.
And let me tell you, Andrea, I didn't fill them in with freaking compliments about myself. Do you know what I mean?
No, I didn't.
I was like, okay, what do I have boils all over my body that I'm unaware of? Like, what is going on here? I was questioning loads of things.
Yeah.
Obviously, I swiftly got over it because, you know, you have mechanisms and you move on. And it was fine. But it did say, like, I still did think back and go, I wonder why. I wonder what happened there. I wonder what exactly was going through that person's mind that made them do that.
Absolutely. And
don't do that is what I'm saying.
Don't do that. So don't lie, and then don't leave it vague.
Don't leave it. No.
No.
I think maybe there could be a tendency to veer into personal feedback, shall we say? Like, as in, I feel like you are incredibly annoying, and I feel like,
whoa, okay, yeah.
And I feel like you are a dickhead or whatever, you know.
Yes. As in,
don't make it very personal. I think the even if it is personal, and even if you are breaking up with them because they're a dickhead, try and keep the focus on you as a pair.
Yes. Or we the action.
Like this isn't going to work because you and I aren't compatible. You and I aren't You and I don't work because of X. And try and make it less about just shitting all over the other person, because you're breaking up with them, that's tough enough. Yeah. And if it was the other way around and you were the one being broken up with, you'd probably appreciate not being torn to shreds. Even if maybe you deserve to be, you probably would appreciate that not happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you look back and you'll feel like shitty about yourself if you're dragging someone down trying to get out of something else. You know what I mean? Like that's not the way to do it. Mm-mm. I think you're right. I think keeping it on the pair is good, or just keeping it on the action. So like, I need a relationship where I get to spend time with my partner, and a lot more time than we get to spend together. Mm-hmm. Do you know, as opposed to you're always working, you're always on your PlayStation, you're always at, you know, out with the lads, you're always blah, blah. Like, that isn't the way of doing it. It's as you're saying, because you're always isn't a nice statement either. That's another one, I think.
Ooh, always and never. Yeah.
Always and never. Mm-hmm. All those kind of phrases. That's not a positive way.
No. I think we talked with that before in a previous. Yeah. Oh, we did. Remember the episode we did on how to have a good argument or how to argue? Always and never statements are
always and never going to work.
Terrible.
And never a good idea. Yes. No. Yeah.
But you're right. And I definitely think avoiding those is
key.
It's good. Yeah. Another thing, and probably the last thing really, is now this has never happened to me, but I know it has happened. I know of someone who it has happened to.
Was it me?
No, actually it wasn't. Although someone as close to me as you are. And basically, don't leave things with any doubt or any gray area about the fact that you are in fact over.
Oh no.
Because if there is any Smith. I need time, or I need we just need a bit of a break, or we know whatever, no, it's either a breakup or it's not.
I agree.
And there needs to be no question about future reconciliation, so shall we say.
I couldn't agree more.
But do you know what I mean? Because if you're breaking up with someone, make sure that they know that they have been broken up with.
I feel like you're like on the way out, be like, so we're definitely broken up. This is
so over. We're done here. Yeah. So you know that we're done here, don't you?
You know we're broken up. But again, that goes back to if your conversation wasn't clear enough for that to be in the mix, that's your fault.
Well, you know what? I don't know, because if you're trying to be kind to someone and you're trying to not, you know, tear them to shreds like we advised, and if you're trying to keep it positive and trying to keep it clean and trying, you know, all those things, and trying to actually have a really mature adult grown up breakup, the person that you're breaking up with might think, well, this is going swimmingly, maybe we shouldn't break up after all. And if there's any, you know, gap there for them to wrangle their way back in, they might try and take it. So I think just how would you do that? Like, I mean, how do you not leave it?
I think you can be kind without being overly, what's the word I'm looking for? Like overly compassionate. And it's not that you're not having compassion, but you don't have to cushion the blow to the point where they're confused whether you're breaking up or not. So like you can be like, I want what's best for you and I want what's best for me. And at the moment, this is not it. Yeah, and we're
that,
not
that
working.
Involves us not being together.
And that's just it. And I think sometimes what also doesn't help, or what can feel like a nice thing to do in the moment, if your friend has been broken up with or has broken up with somebody and is either sad or regretting.
Yeah.
Not a good idea to say, you never know what's going to happen. No, it's over. You're so right. It's done. It's closed door.
Yeah. And I know, like, anyone who listens to the podcast knows Andrea loves to sever a limb. So if a relationship ends, bye-bye.
Bye. See ya. Like, I don't need that leg.
No. You might as well be on a different planet from Andrea if you ever break up with her, because she will not engage.
No.
My friend.
I do not. I block. I hide. I pretend that, I honestly pretend that it never happened in terms of my social life and my online stuff. Like, I just pretend like
you just gone. Yeah.
Right. Because I can't, I can't do it.
But on that, right. So a way that it could potentially be left open-ended would be maybe if you said something like, and this could be 100% the case, but you don't want to leave it ambiguous. You don't want to be like, well, look, I just need to do some work on myself, or maybe in a year when I return from Guadalajara, we could get back together. You know, you don't want to give any indication that there's something to hang on to there. And that's not because you want to be super harsh, but it's because it's not fair. Like, you're saving the person that you're breaking up with months and months and months and months and months of potential. Obviously, they might not pine. Like, the person might be like, yeah, cool, we're breaking up, fantastic, let's have a parade. But potentially you might be delivering this news to someone who is still deeply in love with you and might spend months, you know, trying to win you back with no hope of that ever happening. Like, if you were doing the breaking up, you obviously want to break up. If you know that that's a final decision, make sure that they know it too. I have been in a situation in the past where things were left open-ended. Like, it was, we're breaking up now, but maybe we'll, you know, maybe something can happen in future.
Yeah.
And that was a killer, let me tell you, an absolute killer.
False hope is worse than like a definitive no.
100%.
And I think
at least with a definitive no, the person can move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're not holding them like in a space and time where they're waiting for you to come back, or they're waiting for a situation to change, or for you to change, or for them to change, whatever it is. They're just like, okay.
Relationship purgatory, that's what it would be.
Oh my goodness, what a great way of explaining it. That is exactly what it would be.
And I think I've been there. And it's not great.
No, it's not. It's not nice.
And there's no like baptizing someone out of relationship purgatory. You just, you know, they're gone.
I think so. And I think, like, mind yourself in it as well, you know, because it's not nice. Even if you're absolutely dead set and you know this isn't going to work and this is what I need to do, bit of compassion for you, because it's not, you're taking the move to end something potentially that should be ended. Everybody in the relationship knows that, but it's still a big thing to do. So mind yourself, take care of yourself, let people around you know that you're doing it, and let people.
What would you say is the worst breakup you've ever had?
Well, I don't know. It's between...
Are we going back to the restaurant here?
Pretty much the restaurant was quite close to the top. The restaurant was quite close to the top. I think the only other one was... I think we did a podcast solely about this, but it was when I was seeing somebody.
We did do an episode all about this.
When I was seeing somebody, and this is why you don't want to lie, because when we had what I thought was a very grown up break, the most grown up breakup I've ever had before in my life, very upset. There were tears. People were sad, but I walked away from it being like, this is the right thing. This is fine. And we've closure.
And actually, listener, she really did. Like, I was actually surprised, because I thought she was going to be in Zimbabwe. And I thought that's people are going to be like, Zimbabwe,
slang.
What?
Yeah.
That is my, actually, I stole that from my friend Claudia, but she says Zimbabwe meaning in a bad way. So I thought Andrea was going to be in a bad way after that breakup. And actually, you were sad, but you're being so strong about it and very accepting. Yeah.
And then I found out that it was all a lie and the rug got pulled from underneath me. And I was like, hang on, because you, if somebody gives you reasons, this is why not lying is important. If someone gives you reasons why something isn't working, you just have to take them at face value. And then you sit with that and you think, okay, that's okay. And yeah, I can see this and I can see that X, Y, Z. But then when that's gone, welcome to purgatory.
Yeah.
My loves, in you get, do you know?
Do you think we should call this episode Welcome to Purgatory?
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what? The person that's dealing with the cushioning, the cushionee is purging it up.
Audrey. I had a final thought there that I was going to share with everyone, but I accidentally birthed 75% of my brain when I birthed my daughter. So it's gone.
Okay.
Never to return.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember. I honestly, it was,
but what was,
it
what
was fabulous.
Your worst breakup?
Oh yeah. Okay. So I was with someone for a significant amount of time, we'll say, when I was much younger. And we went on a weekend away. I think I might have said this in the podcast a long while ago, but we went on a weekend away. So romantic. So romantic. Went to a lovely place. We stayed in a lovely hotel. He brought me somewhere that was very sentimentally valuable to me, which I thought was incredibly romantic. We had a wonderful time. I left that weekend away absolutely glowing from the inside out. I was just so happy and so in love. And I got back in my car. So he dropped me home or to my car. I can't remember where my car was parked, but he dropped me. I remember him dropping me to my car and we had a kiss goodbye. And he was like, I love you so much, blah, 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 Grant. 10 days later, having not heard from him in the intervening period, I was at work and he walked into my place of work with a bag of my belongings.
Oh, I'm going to get sick of my own mouth. Go on. I know the story, but it still gets me. Go on.
And he handed them to me in front of colleagues, in front of members of the public, in front of a friend he brought with him for moral support. Because, like, he needed moral support.
He did.
And handed me the bag of my belongings and walked out. And actually, I think he might have said Merry Christmas. Because it was Christmas time.
And was it, can I ask though about that Merry Christmas? Was that in like a, or was that a genuine like?
No, I think he was so shitting himself and so did not know what to say to me that Merry Christmas was the only thing. Because he obviously couldn't be like, there you go, I love you. Or there you go, babe, or whatever, you know. So he just gave me the bag and said Merry Christmas. Yeah.
That is a lot. That is a lot to unpack. We're not going
that
to.
That was pretty bad. That was
horrific. Bad. That was going from bad. The high of the high to the low of the low. Merry Christmas. Here's a bag of your own shit. This isn't going to work out. Goodbye.
And like, not even here's a bag of your shit. This isn't going to work out. Just like,
no,
I'm not going to speak to you for 10 days after potentially the most romantic time of your life. Can you imagine the sweat that came out of me in those 10 days. I stopped eating. It was the only time in history I've ever stopped eating for any reason. Like, it was absolutely chronic. It was so bad, so bad. Now, thankfully, that's a long enough time ago that I'm able to laugh about it.
Yeah.
But at the time, Jesus, no. I was not in a good way.
So there's some top tips about what not to do. And I know we said we wouldn't do to lead with that, but I think they're very important for people to understand.
Please, please don't take your girlfriend away for a romantic weekend and then blank her on the way home. Like, we've been together for, I can't even go back through it.
Don't relive it.
Let's wrap this shit up, will we?
Let's fucking put a bow on it. It's done.
Put a bow on me, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. From Andrea and I, signing off from Zoom in our respective homes. We'll chat to you next week. Until next week, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.